Go Loud presents Murder Most Irish. Find it first on the Go Loud app and on all major podcast platforms.
For 2 seconds. We were going to be besties for the night. You weren't going to scream and I was going to leave you in here. Sarah doesn't have food, honey. That's not animal food.
Oh, it's a strawberry, I can't give him a strawberry.
No,
honey.
He won't eat it. Strobs.
Strobs.
Strobs. Did I tell you when we were very young, myself and my sister, there's a strawberry, factory. What's the word?
Farm.
In Longford. Shout out to them. They used to get all the child labour in the summer.
Oh, yeah?
And they'd have, like, kids over there working. Me and Yvonne were over there when we were, like... I was no more than, like, 12.
10, 9, 12, 7.
Maybe?
5.
Yvonne
3.
Was maybe 14. No, I would have been younger. I think I was younger. And we went over there, and there was this cunt. We spent all day... This sounds like... spent all day picking strawberries. We did. Spent all day picking strawberries. And then we brought them in. And this fucking little cunt... who was obviously related to them, but she was our age, but she was fucking mad with power.
Oh.
We brought in the strawberries and she was like, no, and emptied them out onto the thing. I was like, they're not good enough, you had to pick more. And Yvonne took my hand and she said, we're leaving.
Oh, and
We walked home. And we told my mum and she was like, fuck them. And I was like, why did you, and then years later, I was like,
why'd you send us?
Why were we over there? Sit down, you moron. Sit down.
Hey, don't pretend you're deaf.
But yeah, like, I'll never forget it. And then one time we were there, and the first time, we went one day, but I was there, and they had a dog, and a dog was pissing all over the strawberries.
Yeah, but you washed them.
Still. Come on, man. Don't let the dog piss on the strawberries.
Like, on the...
Pissing on the strawberries? Yeah. I was like, don't let the... Just move the dog. Why is the dog... And I said, why is the dog pissing on strawberries?
Hey, listen, you were also
shut the fuck up,
fully business. Involved in child labour, so I don't know.
Like, literal child labour. There were children in the fields.
The children in the fields. The children, this is the beginning of a Gary Murr song.
The children were
the
yearning.
The children in the fields.
That's what was playing in my head when I was picking strawberries. I remember it being so socially awkward.
Remember that Gary Murr song? Beauty. It was all about Northern Ireland and the Troubles.
Which one?
What is it called? I'll get it. But it was like one of those really... Remember those songs in like the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
Where they would be like...
Also, isn't it crazy in the 80s people were allowed to be ugly?
Yeah. People in the early 90s were also allowed ugly. To be ugly.
It hit like the 2000s and nobody was allowed to be ugly anymore.
There's no ugly people allowed in
there. There are no ugly people singing. Oh, no, that's a lie.
Who? Ed Sheeran.
I love the way we both said that at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think we should leave this in.
Don't give a fuck, leave it in. I know I'm an ugly cunt. Do you know you're an
you're
ugly
not
cunt?
You're not ugly.
But do you know? You know you're
okay,
an ugly
we're both
cunt.
Ugly, so yeah. There we can say, right, we're ugly, they're ugly
yeah.
too. And but yeah, like...
Ugly people are allowed to talk about other ugly people.
Name one woman.
Name an ugly woman. That's a singer.
That's popular now.
That's right. Think I might be biased towards women.
You can't, because they're all hot.
Yeah.
And even if they're not, they are.
Yeah, like...
But like, Ed, no offense to Ed.
Now, I don't want this... This is not... I'm not saying this. Nope. So before I say it, but I know...
This is a fully disclaimer to this before you say it. What are you going to say?
I know, I'm like a taxi man. Hey, I'm not racist.
Listen,
but
just hear me out, yeah?
I have a black friend, right? So I'm allowed to say this.
I'm just saying this because...
But... When CMAT, the BBC put videos up of CMAT, they have to turn the comments off.
Dude, that is fucking wild.
And she is beautiful.
She is beautiful.
For people, because she doesn't look... Because
she's not a size 6.
Yeah.
She has a body. But that is insane that they have to turn off the comments. I remember reading an article that she...
The new song she has out is about it.
Yeah. And she was like, I can't... She was like, they can't put up anything about me. There was like, she was in a magazine recently and the magazine had to turn the comments off. And this was a magazine dedicated to women. So there were women in the comments section.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you people? You cry and you bitch and you moan about the fact that you have nobody that looks like you and nobody who is a regular looking human being that doesn't have a shit ton of fucking plastic surgery and isn't on 12,000 litres of Ozempic a week, and you get that and you make shit of her because you hate yourself so much that you just project it onto that girl.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane.
Isn't that wild?
Like, what the fuck? And she's so talented.
But we did just do the same thing to Ed Sheeran.
No, fuck him. He's a man. I don't give a fuck.
What's the other guy? What is his name?
What is his name? Louis? No. What the fuck is that man's name?
Oh, he's very funny.
He is very funny. He makes me laugh. And actually, do you know what? He's not ugly. He's not ugly. He's just a regular looking...
But that's what I mean. Ed Sheeran and him get to be regular looking.
They just
dudes.
Get to be schlumpadinkas, as you say.
A schlumpadinka, if ever there was.
And they don't have to ever...
The fuck is his name?
What is his name? It's not Louis.
Louis Capaldi.
Louis Capaldi, that's it. But yeah, like, they don't have to ever worry about, like, looking a certain way in order to sell records.
Like, Traitors is a really good example. There isn't, like, in Traitors... Sarah is currently obsessed with Traitors.
Sarah's in deep.
Party for president.
She's balls deep.
And if Eamon got hit by a car, I'd feel sorry for the car. Here we go.
Which one's Eamon?
He's the guard that went yesterday.
Oh, you hate him.
Hate!
Danny that I work with also hated him.
Hate! He's on the radio now being like...
There was yesterday, because obviously you've been talking about it, my phone listens. An interview came up with him. I don't know this guy from Adam. I don't think about it. But with two podcasters. And he was talking shit about the older gentleman. And
he was like he's the worst player in history.
He's the worst. And then the guy was like, well, I mean, he's not really because he's out,
still there.
He's in and you're out, so.
Yeah.
What's that ball bag?
What's that? Anyway.
What were you saying about
it? All the women in it are beautiful. And all the men just look like men.
Well, I will say this. And I've said this before and I've said it a lot. Even just when I'm in town. Women are so gorgeous. Like, women just...
I'm not like, all of them.
Not all women. No, but you know what I mean? Like, even the ones that aren't, like, conventionally whatever. I fucking hate that term. But, like, they dress so well.
Yeah, they make an effort.
And or they're wearing something really cute. Or, like... And then you just see a man and he's just some dude. Some guy.
Some dude.
He's just some guy. He's just a guy. He's wearing jeans and a top.
Yeah, yeah. He's wearing a t-shirt.
And some woman is putting that man's penis in his mouth. And it enrages me. Like, the anger that I feel.
Take.
Like, but the anger that I feel. Like, a man will get on the bus and he smells. And I was like, I know someone sucked your dick.
Yeah.
Or let you put your penis, his penis inside you. Because I won't get into the whole reason I think that is. But, like, yeah, I just, I'm like.
The reason you think what is?
That women allow these men to have sex with them.
Oh, yeah.
And they continually end up with these men that are pieces of garbage. I won't get into it. I'm in a mood today. But like...
Get into it.
No, it's... no. But like...
Get into
even
it.
I put up a post this morning and I took it down because I was so angry on Instagram. I just took it down. I was like, I
like you.
Down this morning.
Look at you growing.
Yeah, I was like, I took it
look
down.
Look at you
so
being
like,
a bigger person.
I was like, you know what? I was so angry. I had a nervous breakdown this morning and then I got on Instagram and I was like, get it! Like, I was so... mad. And I know
you should see how many videos I have in my drafts in a TikTok, which is just me going, well, I'm genuine. And then I go, don't put that up.
Yeah, like I took it down because I was like, there's just some guy made a guy with a microphone and he was like talking about hanging out with his male friends and that when you get to hang out with your male friends, you get to be like the worst version of yourself and you get to say things that you would never say otherwise and nobody will judge you. And then for me personally, when he started saying the video, I was like, yeah, like sometimes I'll say stuff to you or I'm like, I can't say this around anybody else. But he was like, you know, a little bit of diet misogyny, a little bit of diet racism. I was like, what?
But I
and
do.
Then he, and then thought that he didn't think that was him as a person. Buddy, that is you. You're just saying it's the people that you know aren't going to judge you for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that it's safe in.
That is you.
Yeah.
You're not this other version. That's you. And it backfired horribly on him because he's one of these guys that's like, you know, a performative man that's like trying to be all like about women and stuff. I'm like, but that's literally, that's it right there. You're a fucking piece of shit. I put it up and I was like, you know, just take it down, Emma, because you're so angry. Don't call for a male-specific genocide at 7 o'clock in the morning. Just take the video then. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was so mad, but I was like, that is you, bud. You don't get to say, you know, you just get to be this other person. No, honey. That is you. You are a misogynist.
Yeah, no, if you think like really racist and misogynist jokes are funny,
you're that's misogynist. You. Like, what are you talking about?
And also,
about?
If you're finding spaces where you know there's people and you're seeking that yeah. out, well, then, no, you're that's what you're into.
And I can read between the lines and I know he's talking about rape jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that's what they're doing in that group chat. And I can fucking, if I put €1,000 on it right now, that's what they're doing in that group chat. They're making little rape jokes. And then one of their friends goes on to rape someone. And they're like, oh, I didn't think that was going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Did you see that Italian fucking account, that Facebook account?
Insane.
32,000 men posting naked pictures of their wives.
Yeah.
So other men could go on and talk about rape fantasies.
Yeah. Anyway, that's an insane number.
32,000. And it'll tell you everything you need to know about Gisele Bichot as well. What happened to her. Like, that French lady. Like, what are we doing here? And then this motherfucker's like, diet misogyny. There's no such thing as diet misogyny. You're a fucking misogynist.
Mm.
Like, because I know, I don't have a lot of straight friends, straight male friends. But I wouldn't want to be friends with straight male friends that are in a group chat talking about raping women.
No.
And if any of my straight male friends are listening to this, please know that. Stop talking to me.
Yeah.
Because you're not fucking funny. Because you know in your life somebody who was sexually assaulted. You absolutely 100% know somebody that was sexually assaulted. But you think it's so, you're so edgy. Fuck off.
Do you want to talk about him?
And he was bald.
Do you want... Oh, he was bald.
Yeah, no offence, bald. Yeah, all full offence to everybody. Everybody's pissing me off.
You want to talk about a misogynist?
Who were we talking about?
Conor McGregor.
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't even know what to do with it. What do you do with that? Like, apologies to everybody that had to watch that video.
So, he's begging people to hound local representatives so he can get a nomination.
Yep.
He has said already that he secured support for a nomination, but no records have been found of any.
Because nobody has.
As president, he will hold referendums. It's not possible.
Not possible.
That doesn't happen.
Doesn't
Our happen. President doesn't get to do this.
Nope.
He needs 20 Oireachtas recommendations or at least 4 local authorities to endorse him, and no one has.
No one will.
And then my big question and highlight, pink pen, is who's funding it?
I don't know. But I'm absolutely...
Who's writing that speech?
There's the absolute 100% far-right American influences.
Who was writing that speech?
When he said founding fathers,
yeah,
I was like, that's American.
And there we don't have founding fathers.
We don't have founding fathers, you fucking thick, crumbling cunt. We don't have founding fathers. But yeah, he's 100% it's far-right American, but far-right.
Would you like to hear my Conor McGregor impression?
Please do.
I hear only a problem but once. And then I immediately move to solution.
Solution. My thing is, the way his head was...
I hear only but a problem but once. And then I move to solution. I have said that in an interview. I have a...
Next time you got it.
I hear only a problem but once. And then I move to solution.
My favourite thing is, was a girl who made a video who said that he sounded like Tommy Tiernan doing an impersonation of
she's right.
African priest. I was like, that's exactly what he sounded like. He's just... It's so funny to me because the same men that are in his comment section being like, "You're bad, Conor," are the same men putting up flags on lampposts and saying they want to protect Irish women.
Yeah.
But you're supporting a rapist.
Yeah. Who raped an Irish woman.
Who raped an Irish woman. You fucking pigs. I hate everybody. Also, if anybody wants to join Sarah and I to come to Ballyfermot and get a scissors and cut all the Irish flags down off the poles, please do.
Yeah, because Graham's afraid I'm going to be stabbed.
Yeah, like, I don't care at this point. I would welcome being stabbed at this point because I just don't care anymore. Like, I am so sick of these cunts.
Yeah.
So sick of them. Anyway, that's... I'm ranting about everything.
Shayna Fina Fall.
Like, imagine being a person that's not Irish in Ballyfermot being like, I know what this means.
No, wait till I just... Let's look at that a different way. Imagine having all of that time and energy... Like, I put up a TikTok video, right? I put up a TikTok video where I was like, these people who are getting up, I'm going to be nice. And I'm going to assume they have a job. I know assuming makes an ass of me and an ass of you. But I'm going to assume, and I'm not going to, because all the fucking liberals will be like, that's classism. So I'm going to play the fucking devil's advocate here and be like, these cunts have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So on their free time, they're like, I'm going to buy my Irish flags in bulk from Shein or Temu or Amazon. Right? Produced in China, 100%. Or Pakistan or somewhere where they're cheap to produce. I'm then going to, in my free time, go down to my local community. And I'm going to walk past all the houses that are boarded up.
Yep.
all of the crackheads, yep, because I live in Ballyfermot, so I can say that, and all of the children that have nowhere to play because the playground's being set on fire, or all of the scumbags that are in the field on their mopeds, or all of the horses that are around in our estates that aren't being looked after properly, or. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to spend my free time putting up these flags.
Yep.
And the problem in your estate, and the problem is the immigrants. And also, for anybody that's like, we did it in, like, fucking Italia 90 or whatever, that wasn't to intimidate anybody. No. And those flags are to just to intimidate people. Yep. And for anybody who's like, it's just about being proud of being Irish.
It's not.
Go to Northern Ireland and walk into a state that, not only an estate that is just covered in a British flag, but maybe walk into an estate that's covered in an Irish flag, because you feel equally as intimidated. Yep. You feel equally as like, oh, I don't, like, do they know I'm from here? Mm-hmm. Do they know I'm the okay type?
Yeah,
do they
exactly, know I'm a Catholic? Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel when I go there. I don't feel in any way empowered to be like, become a member of that community. I feel intimidated. So could you imagine if you took all of that time and all of that energy, because you guys are such proud patriots. And money. And you did something for the community, yep, you are in.
Imagine actually giving a fuck as opposed to grandstanding and being a racist.
Yeah.
Because that's all you are. To anybody listening to this podcast who is involved in that or did anything like that, please do not support us. Do not listen to us. I hate you. And I'm just being honest. You cannot treat people like this and then expect other people to respect you. Yeah. I have no respect for these people.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, it's proud to be our... No, it's not.
No.
We all know that you got on your shitty little Facebook groups where none of you can spell, know the difference between your and your and the three twos.
And angel or angle.
Angel or angle. And decided that you were going to put up Irish flags around your towns. For what purpose? So then you can take heroin and go to the Maher or to the James's and get treated by an Indian doctor because your dumbass won't stop taking drugs. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Like,
I can't stand the cunts. I can't hate them. Yeah. Like, I absolutely fucking detest every single one of them. And this idea as well, what really pisses me off, and it should piss you off as a person from an area like this, is the liberal idea that you're all dumb.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. They have no opportunities. They're all stupid.
Mm.
Are they?
Yeah. I had this argument with someone.
Oh my god!
So also, I put up a video saying pretty much exactly what I just said there. My videos tend to get between 300 and 500 views. I'm not like a big person on the internet. Would you like to know how many views I got within that? Because I put it on private first.
A couple hundred thousand.
And all of my... So it was put... I put it on private first to be like, is this being pushed out? Because the people who follow me are like me.
Yeah.
So they're not...
They're not seeking this out. Yeah.
Every single person that is a friend of mine, it was pushed to. So every single person saw it. And then I opened it up to be like, right, let's see how many it gets publicly. I got over 7,000 views in 24 hours, maybe less.
Almost just people being like, yeah.
Oh, I had loads of people in the comments that were like, loads of people just were in the comments watching me fight with, because I just was having a load of fun. Anybody that came into my comment that I had loads of fun with, like, you know, idiots on the internet. There was loads of people, but they were predominantly people that already follow me that were like arguing aback, but I had tons of people that were in my page being like, well, are you going to take one in?
What do you mean take one in?
Like,
do you think there's a man outside with a gun at your head being like, take in an immigrant?
Yeah.
What are you talking
about? Like, are you
going
to take one in? And then it was like, there was a whole conversation around like, but you have to understand that like, this is affecting our housing market. It's not.
It's not.
Like,
they're lying to you.
What's
no,
affecting
not.
Your housing market
they're not.
Is
they're
that
lying.
It is set up to essentially, I was like, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Our friend Leslie is currently looking to buy a house.
Yeah.
Our friend Sarah Arrow was looking to buy a house. Sarah Arrow was going around and trying to find, she's a tiny little person.
She the cutest baby.
The only thing she could get in her price bracket was a one bed.
Yeah.
I know someone else that was doing the same thing. And in Dublin, at one bed apartment she went to view in Dublin, this other woman showed up. The same woman showed up to every single one of them. And by like the sixth or seventh one where this woman was like, I'm being outbid, I can't. She said to the woman, like, you've been at all of these.
All of these
are you
yeah.
in the same predicament as me? And she was like, no, I've been hired by a Chinese financial company I'm allowed to spend whatever it is. I just need to buy every single one of these.
Are you fucking joking me?
Emma.
No, that's not shocking, actually. I won't believe that's true. Yeah.
Like, You look at your apartment complex. None of these apartments are lived in by people that own them.
They are all owned by landlords.
Your landlord doesn't even live in his country. No.
And it is, like, it's so funny to me because you'll
When you make a housing market, a private house, like, it's not a public housing market. You privatise that and you let vulture funds come in that don't have any entities in the Republic of Ireland to buy up all of your equity to then essentially push it back out into the market. You are creating, and on top of that, you're not producing enough for your population. Yep. You need to build a minimum of 80,000 houses a year in Dublin alone to deal with the population. Yep. They're saying that by the end of, I think, 2028, they think we're going to get to like nearly 7.9 million population-wise. Like, you aren't built, that's not immigrants.
No.
And then let me tell you something. The government doesn't pay for them. It is paid for by the European Union.
They're so impossible.
There is no money in the Irish Exchequer being paid for asylum seekers and immigrants. No. The European Union, which we are a member of, has a directive for asylum seekers, and we agree and commit to a number every year that we're going to take. And we get paid to take them.
I don't know, this sounds very sheeple of you.
I am a sheep.
No, but it, just trying to even have these conversations with people is incredibly difficult because they don't want to hear
this
the
thing
truth.
Of I've done my own research.
You're
a tick
on a far right on Breitbart. Yeah, is that you where you are? What are you talking about? Research. You can't spell your own name. What is happening here?
Also, wasn't it insane that last week we saw people, families celebrating the death of their children in their community in Florida. Just celebrating the death of all of their children.
I don't even know what to do anymore.
Like, so I would like to say congratulations to whoever's making small baby coffins in Florida. Because you're about to make a lot more.
Yeah, 100%.
TB is, there's an outbreak of TB.
Measles are killing children again. Yeah.
Like, I got measles. Mm. I had measles because I'm not vaccinated.
I had measles. No, I had the German measles when I was a kid.
I had the fucking measles. When I got them. And I had mumps.
Yeah.
Because I was not vaccinated. Yeah. Because I have tick parents. And I was in my house with the measles with what, like, newspaper on the windows because I couldn't have any
light
for a month and a half.
This is what they're doing to their children.
Yeah,
they're killing their children.
Anyway, I was gonna have a happy podcast.
No, but it's like, we haven't been on in a while, obviously, so a lot of stuff is built up with regards to what's going on. Ireland is in the shits at the moment, and I
everywhere is in the shits.
It's just so bad.
And if someone doesn't blow Netanyahu. Oh,
but like, remember, I was listening to an older episode of ours from like a couple of years ago where we were talking about, what's that cunt?
Trump.
No, the Irish cunt that used to be the Taoiseach. Rich boy.
Varadkar.
Varadkar. And Varadkar got on television and told everybody there was no far right problem in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now look at us.
Look at us now.
Now look at us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, I've gotten to the point now where I don't really want to talk to anybody because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to have a conversation with you and this is immediately going to veer into you being a racist action. I've reported two taxi drivers. I don't give a fuck. And I will continue to do so. If I get into your cab and you say something virulently racist to me, I'm going to report you. And everybody needs to do that. But like, it's just consistently happening and it's really, really bad at the moment. And then what's going on in Palestine is unfathomable. I can't. And everything is awful. And I know how difficult everything is for everybody at the moment as well. So I know we all have to just try.
Is there anything fun written down to talk about?
Probably not. Nothing.
Oh, the Department of War.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Do you not think the honesty is refreshing?
No, I don't. I think
I like that
I think they're so dumb.
Oh,
like,
you're dumb.
They're so fucking dumb. It's like watching a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Do you think he's going to leave?
Who?
Trump.
Leave what? Leave the
presidency? Do you think he'll leave when he's due to leave?
I used to think so, but now I don't know. I have no idea. Well, he left the first time.
Well, kind of.
Well, he had to.
I know, but like,
But like, they're in control of everything now, so who knows? Like, anyway, shout out to America. It's a dictatorship now.
It's a dictatorship.
You've got police state in Washington DC
and Chicago.
And he's going to go after the other bigger cities now. The blue states are going to get their police states. Shout out to anybody who voted him. I hope you die roaring. You're ruining people's lives. You're murdering children. Fuck Joe Biden also, because I don't think for a second that I'm sitting here going, it was better with Biden. Biden is the reason Palestine is on its knees at the moment. Fully, 100%. Kamala Harris as well. She can suck my dick. The whole lot of them. There isn't any, like, the amount of liberals that I see in the comment section being like, well, if Joe Biden's old ass would be assassinating Palestinians by himself if he could. He doesn't care. All they care about is Israel. Fuck Israel. Fuck Israel. Fuck Israel. Fuck. And to anybody in our podcast network who is not speaking out in this genocide, fuck you too. Like, fuck everybody. Just...
Jack, you smell like shit.
Oh, Jackie. I got him this food and there's like sardines in it.
Oh.
And I can smell it off my, and I can smell it when he's like, he farts and it's really bad.
Hey!
Don't you bite Sarah Jane.
Don't come for me if your dad's dead.
I'm sick of influencers. I hate all of them. Who else? Maybe else I hate? I think men in bands are idiots and they need to stop thinking about themselves.
Okay, alright.
That's also another thing that I think. I don't think men should be allowed to write books. Anything else? No, that's about it.
Well, I'm delighted that you've got all that off your chest.
It's a bad day for me to record.
Yeah.
I woke up in the worst mood this morning.
Tell the people how you went to work.
I went to work so angry this morning. I was so embarrassed. Because I was like, had a fucking
nervous... The only way I could describe it is the way she described it to me, I was like, were you like Marvin Home Alone? And she was like, yeah, you know what Marvin's
Joe
like?
Joe Pesci walking through... That was me. Honestly, walking across there to go to the bus. And I got to the steps and I said, stop. I was saying stuff out loud. And I was like, you need to stop. It was 6 o'clock in the morning and I was so angry.
What were you saying out loud?
I was like, what the fuck? It's just stupid. I hate that. Like, I was so mad. I was so angry. And then I got on the bus and I was like, just take a breath. Just take a breath, Ems. And then some idiot put up a video and I had to take it. And I was like, take this down.
Yeah, sometimes when you're in those moods, I just listen to music.
Yeah, I'm like, just take
or it down. I try and listen to a funny podcast.
Yeah, that's what
and
I did.
And I'm like, oh, okay, now I feel... Like, during the day I was in a bad mood and I listened to If Books Could Kill and it made me laugh.
Yeah, that's like, the thing.
That podcast always makes me laugh.
I love If Books Could Kill.
I love.
That's such a great...
I love, love, love.
Have I anything nice?
Do you remember that book and the movie? He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh yeah, they did that one. Yeah, I listened to that episode.
Yeah, I remember that movie. Right.
I never saw it. That's the one with Justin Long, right?
Yes, I saw that movie.
The whole premise of it, like, he didn't like you.
The entire movie is that it's, a little bitch. Yeah, it's okay. Like a load of different stories that interlink with each other, and all of them are in somewhat about rejection.
Oh, okay.
And about women not being able to figure out that the sign is he's just not that into you.
Okay.
All I could think about was that Liz Lemon. Well, anyway, the Liz Lemon episode.
Oh, fruit blindness.
Yeah, but also...
Which is one of my favourite phrases ever.
Like...
Look at him, look at you, fruit blindness.
What is it? Deal breaker, shut it down. And I went to see that movie.
Oh, okay.
Or I watched it in my house, one or the other. When it came out years and years ago. That movie, even when I was like, this movie is garbage.
You dog shit?
Oh my God, the entire movie, every single man in it is just horridly unlikable. Like, they are just all terribly unlikable. And all of the women are so dumb.
God, that sounds like a masterpiece, Sarah Jane.
Like, there isn't... Every scene in that movie, I can't think of the lady's name.
And it's just
name.
One of being like, why don't you like
yeah,
me?
Yeah, there's a lady in it. It's not Jennifer Connelly. There's another lady in it. And she's trying to get Justin Long to, like, be with her. And she makes a tit of herself in every single scene. And I know that the entire premise was that we were supposed to laugh at her. But the entire time, I was like, this is so mean. And it's mean that we're laughing at her because this is mean.
Oh, God.
And then Scarlett Johansson has an affair.
Oh, she's in it?
Yeah, well, I think Bradley Cooper. And Bradley Cooper is married to Jennifer Connelly.
Okay, and then is she like, leave your wife?
Pretty much, yeah. Me. Like, there isn't a likable character in it.
What's the point of that film?
Honestly, I saw Bradley Cooper. Yeah, I think so. It's just
also,
such...
Just, let me tell you something. The day that I ever beg a man to be with me...
Yeah.
Please know something is very wrong and I should have, you know, that No Country for All Men, that thing where he shoots, that needs to be shot through my head. Because if I ever am like, please, oh God.
Yeah.
Like when my relationship of 10 years ended.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah. I was like, cool. I was upset, but I wasn't like, no. No.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Yeah.
I understand you don't want to be with me anymore. That's cool. I'm sad, but I'm not going to beg you to be with me.
Could you imagine?
No, because that would literally, I would need to be lobotomized. Never in a million years. Never in a million years. Of all the stupid things I've done around men, never would I ever beg a man to be with me. I'd put a gun in my mouth quicker.
I'm never, I don't think I've ever begged anybody to get back with me or be with me.
No.
I'm trying to think.
See you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Wish you all the best. Like, not in a million years. Do not beg.
Also, I've never done that. Maybe every woman is the same. I hope we're all the same. And I hope we've just been painted in an unfair light in the media and in literature. I have never, I've never walked away from a man and been like, what does that mean?
What do you mean?
And try to analyse. Like, if a guy is, like, the whole point of that, he's just not that into you, is, like, women who are trying to, like...
Oh, so it's like, oh, what did he mean when he said blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, so he meant what he said.
If a man does not show you interest, he does not want to be with you, catch on to yourself.
Or, like, I was with someone today who was a man, and he was telling me about an interaction that his daughter was having with a boy. His daughter's, like, an older... Like, she's, like, 18, 19. So it wasn't, like, inappropriate, but he was, like... You know, because essentially the boy was showing her loads of interest, and then at the end of the night, he was off with his friends. And she was like, he just kind of blanked me then. And then the man I was with, who's the, like, father of this daughter, was like, oh, I said to her, you know, maybe he's just, like, he doesn't want to be seen, or maybe he's just, you know, a bit of... I said, stop telling her
that. Don't tell her that.
Like, no. This dude's a dick and he's not paying you attention.
If he wants to blank you, let him continue to blank you and never speak to him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's this idea of it being, like, men having, like, hidden messages. Men are dumb as shit.
Yeah.
They don't have hidden messages.
Also, this idea... They're thick. That men have hidden messages and hidden ways to communicate, but can't put a duvet cover on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What are we doing?
Like, what are you talking about?
No.
Like,
just stop talking to them.
You know a thing that Graham asked me yesterday?
What?
I said, do you know how to turn the water off in this house? Because that guy is going to need the water to be turned off for the immersion.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He was like, no. And I said, okay. So I was like, showing him where it was. And then he was like, but why does he need the water turned off? I said, because that boiler's going to fill with water and he needs to take out the immersion, which, you know.
Yeah.
And he was like, there's a pump and a boiler in my hot press. He said to me, which one's a boiler? I said, sorry? What do you mean?
It's right there!
What do you mean?
This one!
How do you not know what the boiler... How do you not know?
What did he think it was?
He didn't know which one was the pump and which one was the boiler. He did not know the difference. He did not know what he was looking at. He did not know.
Like, how did he not know?
I don't know.
I hate them.
How has he gotten his fire life without knowing what the boiler or the pump is?
You know when they call the deer in Phoenix Park?
Yeah.
We need to round up all the men once a year and do that.
Like,
I need to be in charge.
You'd go on a killing spree. You'd be like Michael... What's that? Michael Douglas in that movie. Oh,
Falling Down.
You'd start in the Phoenix Park and then you'd just leave.
Everywhere. No one is safe. Anyway, men are idiots. Don't ever beg for a man, please, honey. Anybody listen to this, do not ever beg for a man. If you ever think you're going to beg for a man, just imagine me and Sarah Jane being like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
In your head, be like, me and Sarah just staring at you going, what are you doing? There you go. Problem solved.
Also, I'm married to a man that doesn't know what a boiler or a pump is.
She made her decision. So.
Right.
That's why I was like, Sarah,
what the fuck do you mean? What do you mean? He said, I don't know.
Why wouldn't you know? You've lived in this house since 1992.
Yeah, why wouldn't you know?
How would you open this door every day?
Also, this is the second time we've had the immersion change. We've lived here so long.
I wonder, is your water okay now?
It better be. Lads, I haven't had a shower since Thursday.
Yeah.
And it is... When I tell you... My hair doesn't even feel like hair anymore.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's like the biggest it's ever been. It's the fullest it's ever been.
She keeps saying her hair is big.
Like, my hair has...
My hair is so big.
I can't explain. It's like the molecules in my hair have sucked in all of the grease.
Like, it's not greasy at all, though.
I know, because it's edit.
But I'm telling
my
you...
My hair has 8 degrees.
Hair, you know what it is? Your hair is getting used to not being washed.
Oh,
you
my
know
hair.
The way all the hair girlies say that?
Yeah.
Don't wash your hair for 7 years and then...
No, I just think they're lying.
Yeah, also, my hair is thin. I can't do that.
My hair is thin.
Your hair is not thin. You have so much more hair than I do.
Anyway, yeah, so, yeah, like... If you come near me on the street tomorrow on the water, still not broke, I'd be like Emma wants to sworn and just... Today, and he was supposed to come on Tuesday. Well, I sent this man a text message. Graham said he's not going to come tomorrow.
If you come here, I will kill you. But you better come here.
I said, could you not have told me this?
I'm going to Tiger kidnap your entire family.
I said, sorry. He said, very busy.
I said, motherfucker, I don't care.
I said, very busy. I said, the flies are very busy around me because of the smell.
Oh, my God.
Sarah, because I have had no hot water. Like,
it's the worst. Like, that was like me at Christmas. I was on the verge of another nervous breakdown at Christmas. Like, I was bathing in the sink.
Yeah.
Like a Victorian woman. It was so bad.
Honestly, I was like, if the water isn't fixed today, I said to Grip, if the water's not fixed today, I am going to wash myself at Emma's and then I'm going to go to the hairdresser's tomorrow and get my hair washed and blow dried.
Okay, right, should we do our... Oh, have any housekeeping?
Housekeeping! Yeah. We should say, hey, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Colin is going to put this at the start.
But, no, leave it in the middle, it's fine.
We did this at 43 minutes in.
Do we have any housekeeping?
No, just say welcome to everybody. We haven't been on in a while, and here we are, and we're miserable.
I think leave it in the middle, it's funnier.
Leave it in the middle.
Comedy gold. Have any housekeeping?
I have no housekeeping. We haven't done this.
No, I have no housekeeping either. I don't think thanks to everybody who messaged me like, please come back. We have come back. I'm sorry.
We're back, and I'm doing a story, and Sarah's it's fucking doing a story. Miserable.
Jack is here. I'm going to put him out. I'm going to... Do you mind if I make a cup of tea?
I wasn't really like, you're going to put Jack out. He's been here that entire time.
I know, but he's
not. No.
What is wrong with you? Why are you so needy tonight?
Get rid of him.
Join the Murder Most Irish Patreon and unlock over 200 uploads from the world of Emma, Sarah Jane, and Colin. Featuring MMI Drive, Ask Me Arse, Girls on Film, and much, much more. The MMI Patreon is a treasure trove of goodies for all our amazing listeners. But that's not all. Get ready for the long-awaited Season 2 of Music Most Awesome and the return of Miscellaneous Most Irish. Our look at cults, alien abductions, and all things macabre. For just €6 a month, you can join our community of dedicated fans, show your support for Murder Most Irish, and gain access to all these incredible extras. So join in the fun at www.patreon.com/murdermostirish for only €6 a month.
Give my mommy €6.
Hey, I'm going to do a story, and it's terrible. Trigger warnings for all the use. All the use.
All the use.
And if you don't like this, I don't know why you listen.
Okay, you're good.
All right. So my references this week are The Guardian, Irish Times, Wikipedia, RTE, Wikipedia, Wikipedia, and The Guardian. So before I get into this case, the victim is the definition of the perfect victim. She fits society's expectation of how a woman should look, behave, and this is not her fault, as no one should have to meet an idealised standard of innocence behavior to deserve justice and compassion.
Fucking
I just lady. Want to shout that out because
fucking
this lady is genuinely, she caught everybody in the Republic of Ireland was talking about, every media outlet, and it was that this thing of her being like the most perfect specimen
of
Irish society.
Yeah.
Everybody is entitled to the level of compassion and the level of care and the level of outrage that this woman unfortunately felt after her death, and so many don't.
Facts.
So today's case is about Aisling Murphy. Aisling Murphy was born on July 1998. She was the youngest of three children to Ray and Kathleen Murphy. She's super young.
Fucking 1998, man.
So she was the youngest of three children to Ray and Kathleen Murphy. And she was raised in the quiet village of Blue Ball, just outside Tullamore, County Offaly. She grew up alongside her siblings, Amy and Cahill, and she was surrounded by a family and a close-knit community who would later describe her as one in a million. Her childhood was steeped in music, and her father, Ray, performed with the folk group The Furies and the band Best Foot Forward. And Aisling quickly inherited his love for traditional Irish music. By her teenage years, she was performing around the country in... I can't say any of these Irish words, but I put them in here.
Let me see.
Coholtas?
Coholtas Kiltori Éireann.
Coholtas Kiltori Éireann.
That's the one.
Ireland's premier traditional music organisation and even played in its national orchestra. Home life was warm. Friday night saw Aisling preparing dinner for her mum, returning from shopping. and she would often be rewarded with a bar of chocolate. So her mum said that, like, Ashton would quite often, she'd come in and Ashton would, like, prepare the dinner or help her get stuck in. She had family and friends that who remember her as vibrant and empathetic young woman known for her twinkly smile and easy laughter. Her fiddler mentor, Attracta Brady, called her a quirky and a little bit cheeky, but always forgiven because she was so lovable. At a vigil held shortly after her death, Ray played her favourite song, When You Were 16, on the banjo, which is so impressive.
Banjos are so difficult. Like, they're such a difficult instrument.
Such a difficult instrument.
Like, even when you see people playing it, they're like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing that?
It's a really difficult instrument to play. The final chords echoed his grief, transforming music into a powerful tribute to his daughter's life and talent. From 2011 to 2017, Ashling studied at Sacred Heart School, a girls' secondary school in Tullamore. Her kindness, empathy and dedication marked her as a standout student. She went on to study at Mary Immaculate College, so MIC in Limerick, graduating with a Bachelor of Education in 2021. And at MIC, she was so beloved that the students' union said she was loved by so many during her time in MIC. Although she had graduated, she was still a member of her community, and the college president spoke of her as a talented musician and performer whose promising life was cruelly snatched away. Ashlyn began teaching in early 2021, taking up a substitute role at School Nave Comseal? School Nave.
I can't see that.
I've highlighted all the words I don't.
Oh, School Nave Comkill.
In Duro in March, and she secured a full-time position teaching a first-class pupils by September. Her principal, James Hogan, described her as a shining light, whose pupils adored her and whose absence left a tangible void in the school and community, with children arriving the next day in tears.
Those kids, man. Oh, they broke my heart.
Former principal Damien White reflected on her practice teaching at Killilea National School, calling her the very essence of a good teacher. She was kind, warm and empathetic, and she was keen to learn. And noting she was shy but brimming with talent. She also carried her love of music into teaching, offering lessons to younger musicians and nurturing their talents with care and patience. Ashling's boyfriend, Ryan Casey, was supportive of her love and her passion for Irish music. Their relationship began when they were just 15 years old.
Babies.
Meeting at a local rugby club disco. They were in their early stages of planning and beginning their adult life together when Ashling was murdered. They had discussed marriage and the future, and it was clear that both planned to grow old together. January 10th was the last time Ryan saw Ashling, as she dropped groceries off at his family home as he and several of his family members were recovering from COVID.
Oh. Dude.
At 2:30 p.m. on January 12th, 2022, Ashling finished work in school in Duro. Ashling spent the morning teaching her first class pupils and then she finished work early. She was captured on the school's CCTV at 2:37 p.m. while walking to her car, a red Seat Cordoba, in which she drove via the N52, did a Dangeen Road car park in Tullamore, close to the Grand Canal. She left the car park on foot. She was wearing a navy jacket, navy leggings, and a Kilcormick GAA camogie top, a white t-shirt, a grey scarf, and blue Nike runners. She had a pink woolen hat and which had a brown bobble, and she was also wearing a ring, sunglasses, a gold necklace bearing the name Ashling, and a Fitbit Versa with an activity tracker linked to her smartphone. Her geolocation and activity data retrieved from her devices showed that she began walking at 2:51 p.m. heading eastwards along the canal in the direction of the Digby Bridge. She was later captured on CCTV at 2:55 p.m. At around the same time, Josef Puska, a 31-year-old Slovakian national, was seen in the area riding a Falcon Storm mountain bike. CCTV footage and witness statements later placed him travelling towards the canal path. By about 3:30 p.m, Ashling was halfway through her run when she was violently attacked. Her Fitbit data later showed a burst of erratic and forceful movement before her heart rate stopped completely a minute later. A key witness, Jenna Stack, was walking along the path when she noticed a bicycle abandoned in the hedge. As she drew closer, she saw a man crouched over Ashling. Ashling at the time was still alive and she was fighting back. She was kicking her legs in desperation. Jenna shouted, "Get off her." The man turned toward her angrily, prompting her to run and find help. That must be terrifying.
Like, you know, it's that kind of thing where it's very much a what would you do situation. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like there is a man, you don't know what he has. You don't know if he has a gun or a knife or anything else, like, but she did the right thing, trying to get help. But Sarah, he knew what he was, he knew what he wanted to do.
The man turned at her angrily, prompting her to run to find help. The two men soon arrived on the scene and they found Aisling lying motionless and attempted to render aid while calling for emergency services. Despite their efforts, Aisling had suffered 11 stab wounds around her neck, causing massive blood loss, and she was pronounced dead at the scene.
Why?
It doesn't make any sense, and it also was like so frenzied that so it lasted frenzied. Like no time.
Like that just, this is so pointless.
And I do think that's the thing. I know at the time we were all witnessing like all of the social media.
Yeah, the furore about it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing about her being a perfect victim, the perfect victim also plays into the fact that like this wasn't a crime of passion.
No, it was just he wanted to.
It was just super random.
He wanted to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is. He wanted, not wanted to kill somebody, he wanted to kill a woman.
Hmm.
And that can't be ignored here either. He wasn't going out looking for a man, Sarah Jane.
No, and he had been on the canal before and people had made complaints to Gardaí.
Like, he wanted to kill a woman and unfortunately this poor girl was the victim.
So the Gardaí immediately launched the murder investigation, securing the canal town path and gathering evidence. The bicycle was traced and became a key piece of forensic proof. CCTV footage from Tullamore showed Puska travelling to and from the canal area. The news of the violent attack began to spread all over Ireland and social media hashtags. She was going for a run swept across Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. It was a heartbreaking reminder that she was just living her life when it was abruptly snatched from her. At that point, Josef Puska had not been found, but a manhunt was looking for him. Later that evening, Puska was discovered at St. James's Hospital in Dublin. He was being treated for a supposed self-inflicted stab wounds. When questioned, he eventually pretty much admitted that he murdered her, so he said, "I did it. I murdered. I am the murderer," is what he said. His arrest followed immediately. When it was revealed Josef Puska was a foreign national, there was another increase of activity on social media. A wave of racism and anti-immigration sentiment spread across social media, unfairly targeting entire communities rather than focusing on the individual responsible. I don't know if you remember that time, but it immediately just swept into like...
It was horrific.
Yeah.
It was.
I had like my brother being like, those Romanian immigrants. I was like, one, Romanian is...
They're not immigrants.
They're not immigrants, part of the European Union. Yeah. And two, this dude wasn't even Romanian.
Also, instead of going, hey, this is male violence against a woman, they just used it, the far right used it to push their bullshit agenda. And that's
absolutely.
Aisling being dead, they did not care that girl was dead.
No, it's just like, what foreign national did it?
Yeah, who, what colour, what kind of tone was their skin? Yeah. Because when this happens and they're waiting, you know the way they're always waiting with bated breath to see if it's a foreign national? Yeah. As soon as it's a white Irishman, silence.
Mm.
Silence. There's no hashtag posts for them. No. There's no, what are we going to do about male violence towards women? But if they're a slightly darker skin tone.
Yeah.
Then. And also, I just want to say, this poor girl did not deserve this to be her legacy.
I know.
Her poor family didn't deserve this. Like... For the murder of their child to become some sort of far-right fucking talking point.
Yeah.
You pieces of shit. Anyway, go on.
By the next day, Garda had identified the suspect, a Slovak national, Josef Puska, that they found him injured in Dublin. And 2 days after the murder, he confessed explicitly, saying, "I did it. I murdered. I am the murderer." This admission, along with the CCTV, the DNA and eyewitness testimony, formed the backbone of the prosecution's case. So Josef had Aisling's DNA under his fingernails.
Yeah, because she fucking...
Fought.
She fought.
So the trial date was set for the 25th of April 2022 at the Criminal Central Court initially. It was then scheduled for... On the 25th of April 2022, The criminal court initially was scheduled for a trial for the 6th of June 2023.
Okay.
The trial didn't commence until the 16th of October 2023, and the trial began at the Criminal Central Court, presided over by Mr. Justice Tony Hunt. Tony Hunt, he's a...
lovely man. A gent.
Juska Puska is a real piece of shit. What did you
just call him?
Puska.
No, you called him Juska Puska is what you just
said. I said just cause, but we should call him that from here on in. Is a real piece of shit. What do you think he pleaded?
Not guilty by reason of insanity.
Not guilty. He said, me no do it. Even though.
Was it like an insanity plea?
No, you just pleaded not guilty.
Just not guilty. Yeah. Okay, so cool. So you just told everybody you did it, and then you had all the DNA in it, and then you were like, I didn't do it. Yeah. Cool, yeah, cool.
Over the following weeks, the prosecution presented decisive evidence, including CCTV footage tracking his movements, DNA and fingerprint matches found on the victim's body and the mountain bike, his own confession to the Garda in St. James's Hospital. And during the trial, the courtroom heard harrowing accounts from the witnesses who had been on the canal path that January day. The jogger Jenna Stack told the court how she noticed a bike lodged in the hedge. She then saw a man crouched over someone or something on the ground, and when she called out, the man looked up. His face was twisted in anger. She shouted at him to get away, and then he shouted back at her, get away. And she said that she almost like knew from his facial expression that like I needed to go.
I was
in danger. She described Ashling's desperation, so that she was still alive when she saw it. She described her legs kicking firstly.
Poor woman.
Like a scissor kick before Jenna fled to raise the alarm.
This poor woman.
Another witness, Anne-Marie Kelly, spoke of how she had been followed by the same man earlier that evening, choosing to cross the grassy side of the path. So like he had been reported to the Guardian, and he was scoping, and she had been followed the same day.
Same day?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. To
avoid him. Cynthia and the Waterways Ireland staff recalled the horror of discovering Ashling's body in the ditch, while Gardaí described their desperate attempts to save her with CPR. Slovak acquaintances, Rostislav Pokuta, I'm sorry if I've just butchered that name, testified that Puska arrived at his home at night, soaked, shaking and injured. He was wearing a black t-shirt. He said he drove Puska home, unaware of what happened. So he was like, what? He thought they injured himself.
Oh, he thought he'd gotten hurt, like,
yeah, somewhere. And then he thought he'd hurt himself.
Okay, so he was like, I'm just going to bring him home, kind of thing.
The court also heard from Gardaí, paramedics and forensics expert, whose evidence tied Puska to the scene through DNA, fingerprints and CCTV. The defence then called Dr. Johan Grundling, who questioned whether Puska's confession could have been influenced by a post-surgical medication confusion. So because he'd had a stab wound to his arm and he'd had surgery, the defence were like his confession was due to the medication he was on, and he was just really confused.
And did the DNA just magically fly off her body and into his hands? Cool. Yeah.
A suggestion that the jury completely rejected. Together, the witness statements painted a chilling but complete picture of the evening. The key post-mortem findings by the state pathologist Dr. Sally Ann Collis. So, Ashling Murphy died because of stab wounds to the neck with no contributory factors such as compression or other trauma identified. So, like, he didn't choke her. He didn't
stabbed her.
He just stabbed her.
Why, dude? What the fuck? Why?
The medical evidence detailed 11 stab wounds to her neck, primarily on the right side. So, it's like he came up on her.
And so,
came off his bike... came up and on her right side just began to stab her.
What the
That's what appears to have happened.
I know I sound incredulous, but what? Why?
I know. This included a long incised wound, and these injuries severed both her jugular veins and the right carotid artery, which severely damaged her voice box, so she couldn't talk, she couldn't scream.
That is so upsetting.
I don't want to be really graphic, but it sounds like he was trying to like cut her head off.
What the fuck, Sarah Jane?
Some wounds were described as consistent with a serrated blade.
So like a
bread knife, like a type bread knife thing.
Or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
a single petechial.
Yeah, petechial.
Petechial hemorrhage was identified beneath her right eyelid, but the pathologist stated it was not sufficient to indicate that the strangulation or neck compression had occurred. So
it was probably just trauma more than anything else.
Have you ever screamed so hard or tried to scream so hard?
Like your, it looks like
or something's burst. On the 9th of November 2023, just over 3 weeks of harrowing evidence, the jury in the Central Criminal Court retired to deliberate. In a little more than 2 hours, they returned with a unanimous guilty verdict, finding Yosef guilty of the murder of Aisling Murphy. Mr. Justice Tony Hunt praised the jury for their careful work and described the case as a difficult and upsetting, remarking pointedly that we have evil in this room. 8 days later, on the 17th of November 2023, Puska was brought before the court once more and received the mandatory sentence of life imprisonment, bringing the trial to its solemn conclusion. Mr. Justice Tony Hunt delivered the mandatory life sentence for Yosef, who had been found guilty of murdering Aisling Murphy, emphasising that the only penalty available under Irish law had been imposed. He described the sentence as wholly deserved, noting that Puska would become eligible for parole in 12 years. He would become eligible for parole in a 12-year limitation imposed by Irish sentencing rules. Justice Hunt lamented the lack of judicial power set a minimum term, pointing out, so he was like, I can't do anymore, but I would if I could. But now every 12 years, that family have to
sit in a room and be like, please don't release
this
man.
Yeah, please don't release this man.
I hate everything.
At the sentencing hearing on the 17th of November 2023, Aisling Murphy's family stood before the court and spoke with raw honesty about their grief. Now, I was going to read out all of their statements, but I genuinely won't get through them because they make me cry.
Yeah, sometimes it's better not to read that stuff.
Her mother, Kathleen, described the pain of a parent who could not protect her child, calling Puska an evil monster and saying he should never see the light of day again. Her sister, Amy, spoke of the music that once bound them together and how Aisling's pink fiddle case now lies covered in dust, a cruel reminder that their sessions together will never return. Ryan Casey, Aisling's boyfriend, shared his heartbreak, saying he had lost his soulmate and he would never get to marry the love of his life. He condemned Puska's lack of remorse, telling him that he will never harm a woman again, and together their words filled the courtroom with both grief and resolve, reminding everyone that Aisling was more than a victim. She was a daughter, a sister, a partner, and a light extinguished too soon. Following on from this, Yosef Puska's conviction of the murder of Aisling Murphy, Garda investigations revealed that the members of his own family had tried to shield him from justice in June 2025. Two of his brothers, Lubomir and Marek, were unanimously found guilty of withholding crucial information, including Puska's confession and his return home with injuries. Information that could have greatly assisted the Gardaí in the early days of the investigation. His sister-in-law, Viera Gasiova and Josefina Grunzova, were convicted of destroying evidence after the court heard they burned his bloodstained clothing in an attempt to cover up his crime. Puska's wife, Lucia Istikova, had already pleaded guilty to holding information before the trial began, and these actions intended to delay or derail justice, only deepened by the anguish of Aisling's family. All five of these now face sentencing on October 7, 2025, so there's no outcome.
So next year.
But they presumably will go to prison.
Of course they're going to go to prison. Or one of them will get like a plea or something like.
Yeah, I don't know, because the wife has pled guilty already.
I mean, and the thing about it is, I think the most, every murder of every human is, you know what I mean? But just this is like, every part of me is, and I don't care about, I'm not one of those people that's into true crime because I want to know about serial killers and
No.
I don't. But there is a part of me that wants to be like, why did you do this? Like, do you think if somebody who lost somebody like that, would you want to say to the person, why did you do this to my person?
But I don't think in this situation, I don't think in any of these situations, but particularly this one, I don't think he has any.
I think it was an impulse.
Yeah, just thinking he had, like, I think this was something you wanted to do.
It was just an impulse.
I think you just
couldn't. And I think it didn't matter who it was, because obviously he had been following another lady previous to attacking
Ashley. Yeah, now there's a whole argument to say that maybe he was going to, but there was no sexual assault.
No, there was no sexual assault at all.
It all took, like, there's no saving grace in this situation. But this thing is so, he stabbed her 11 times.
In the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day in a canal.
On a canal that is so, because my mum was in hospital, that canal is right beside my mum. That canal is always busy.
Yeah.
So there was no forethought with him to go, I shouldn't do this during the day because there's going to be a lot of witnesses. People can scream. He didn't think that. He just thought, I need to do this so badly that I'm going to do it in the middle of the day where I potentially am going to get caught, but I don't care because I need to kill somebody.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
I don't know if there's anything he could say where it'd be there isn't.
No, there isn't.
Where it's like, oh, I did it because. Sorry, but I understand the thing of, I would like to know the reason inside your brain as to why you think you did, why you wanted to do
why
it.
Why did you take this person from
Why did you just take this person? Why did you pick her? What drove you to this? What were you doing before this? Something has to have happened. At the same point, a lot of people cover it up as Shifram. So I'm like, maybe they didn't. And maybe they were equally this doesn't make any sense.
You know, people are like, his wife covered up stuff for him. You know, and you have to question what was potentially happening to her.
So that's what I was saying. This thing of
was she terrified?
I just don't know.
And we don't know. That's the thing. We're just...
And the other thing is, I know the case is really brief, right? But it's an open and shut case, if I'm really honest. And the only thing I wanted to, really get into was, how lovely she was and how this didn't deserve to happen. But I also think it's important to cover it because when I say it's a watershed moment in Irish history, it is one of those moments that the entire nation of Ireland came together in just this, holy shit.
It's an absolute outpouring of grief.
But it also, in the north of Ireland, it's got the highest femicide rate in Europe, and there isn't people with the same level of outrage.
There are people, down in my little village doing candlelight vigils for a pregnant woman being murdered up the north. And that's not saying anything bad about the people in my village. That's not what I mean. What I mean is you have to quantify why...
She's a special victim.
...that was happening. You know, and there is the idea of the perfect victim.
And she is beautiful. She is beautiful and she's lovely, but so are all the other people.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think is really sad about this entire thing, is that her legacy is that this thing happened to her. And her legacy is that this absolute outpouring of grief came out of the country. And as I said at the beginning, every media outlet covered this. Every media outlet.
It was everywhere. You couldn't get away from it.
And the entire country was shocked. And it wasn't because she was a woman.
No.
It was because she was a woman who looked a very certain way.
Yeah.
And it was because it was so random.
Yeah.
And there are women who look a certain way and it's not random and it's a crime of passion.
Yeah.
And it's a 3-day news cycle.
Yeah. Everybody gets over it. Also, her murder was used, unfortunately, by the far right to push racist agendas. But her family, I don't even know. Here's the thing, as you said, it's the news cycle and it's everywhere and it's everywhere and it's everywhere. And then it's just gone. And these people are sat with their grief.
Yeah.
Sat with this hole that will never,
and
ever
she was
be
genuinely chose. I know it's she was genuinely at the beginning of her life.
Oh my god, everything was in front of her.
Everything. And she had
everything was
all
in front of, her.
Of the opportunity in front of her as well. She clearly was a really dedicated, smart, devoted, passionate individual about the things that she did spend her time doing. And
for someone so young, she had her shit together.
Yeah, and so that idea of what she was going to become, that is an entire situation that has been stuffed out. And she also did interact with 20 odd kids a day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They stuffed out this relationship with these
poor children.
For these children, and then also these children get an understanding of how cruel the world could
literally
be.
Imagine going into school and then being your
teacher
was
murdered.
That is one of the, that is a thing that that's a core, as they say, a core memory. You will never forget that the longest day you live. I just remember just being so utterly devastated for her family and just being like, can we grieve for her family instead of turning this into some sort of vile other thing that you want it to be? And not to say in any capacity, Sarah's very eloquent, said it very eloquently. the idea of a good victim is not us saying anything about her. We're just saying it's the idea of what a good victim is, and that's what she was.
Yeah, no, this is just a, we're this not is in a media way, issue. Like, yeah, this is a society issue.
It's nothing to
issue.
Do with Aisling or her family or any of the other women who have been horrifically murdered. It's the media and how they treat it. And it's the same with Gabby Petito, when Gabby Petito was murdered in America. Like, she was blonde-haired, blue-eyed, good family. So, of course, her murder became like, well, we can talk about this and we don't have to mention the bad things she did.
Yeah.
And that is the mentality of it, and it's really fucked up, but... Rest in peace, Aisling.
My murder wouldn't even make the news cycle because I've done so many terrible things.
My murder. They'd play an episode of this podcast.
I know. Like, they'd be like, makes sense.
Ask him for it?
Yeah. Hashtag.
Asking to get the head kicked
your
off.
Your hashtag would be hashtag asking
she
for
it. She was asking for it. She was asking to get the head kicked off herself. And she did get the head kicked off herself.
She's but dead no, now.
She's dead now. R.I.P.
There wouldn't even be an R.I.P.
No, they wouldn't. They'd be delighted. They'd be fucking over the moon, the whole lot of them.
We are
men,
not.
Men would sell. We are not good victims.
We're not the perfect victim.
We are not the
all
perfect victims.
All the pictures
victims.
Of me and me be like, just
all the
like,
pictures of me,
huh?
Just give me the side of my head that you've taken.
Just me pictures. Or I've got all the pictures of your arse at things.
It's just on my coffin. Yeah. My arse.
Yeah, I have loads of pictures of your arse standing in front of a picture or something. Or like, you know what I mean? It's just your backside.
We are not good victims.
When we're at a museum.
Like, we've got coloured hair. Piercings,
yeah,
tattoos,
yeah. Oh, and every
mousy,
every single picture of me is me being like, "What?" Sorry,
we're mouthy. We swear a lot,
a lot.
Yeah, we're not good victims.
No, like I don't even think there'd be a news cycle.
I don't. They just kick you into a hole.
I think the guards are covered up. They did it themselves.
Yourself, like,
yeah. It was no murder.
It was a murder. We don't. But yeah, no, rest in peace,
what
Aisling.
What are we calling this episode?
I have no idea. I listen back. One of us
the guards will cover it up.
Guards will cover it up. But just, yeah, to Aisling. I know Aisling's family aren't listening to this, but
yeah, no,
I know
genuinely,
we say it every episode. Our hearts go out to you and her friends and her family and everybody and her kids, like, that she used to look after. God, man, what the fuck? Like, this case is just so frustrating because I don't understand most of them. This one specifically makes no sense in my brain.
And honestly, like, there's padding in the story, and I do apologise because this story could be just 2 pages long.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's like she genuinely.
It's open and closed.
It's open and closed. There is nobody else. This isn't like a, oh, maybe he
in
was,
10 years we'll realise. No, it was him.
Like, if he had went in and, like, looked for criminals, that he would have never gotten out.
No.
And so I think that's why he didn't.
Yeah. But, like, it's just, I don't understand why anybody would do that. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Well, I mean, I don't know.
There was no defence.
No. What was the defence? They gave him painkillers and he was a bit loopy and so they killed her. The fuck? Also, they're just doing their job as well. Sorry, I don't mean any restrictions. I don't care. Anyway, stop killing women, please. For the love of God. Like, we're so tired. We don't... You know what? We can stop this podcast if you... Here's the thing. Men, if you stop murdering women, we'll shut the fuck up. Deal. Deal. A man went to give me I put up his hand for a high five today, and I went to high five him and he moved his hand.
Sorry?
And I was like,
what did you say to him?
I went, really? And he started laughing. I was like, that's not cool.
That's not, you're much nicer than me. Like, I wouldn't have grabbed his hand. I said, I'll go into my office and get my knife.
A staple his hand in the door. Yeah, he went like,
honestly.
And I went up and he went, and I was like, come on, man. Come on. This made me look really bad. It made me look really uncool for everybody. I'll get him back. He put up his hand, I'll punch him in the balls. That's what I'll do. I'll go like this.
Yeah. Genuinely. Oh my God. I can't believe someone did that to you.
Yeah, she did me worse. I just thought, come on, man.
Yeah, and you're right. Laughing. Come on, man.
Yes, come on.
Have a great week.
Everybody,
enjoy this episode.
Enjoy yourselves. We love you.
Peace. Fuck Israel.
Fuck Israel. To my dying breath, fuck Israel. Fuck it, fuck it, fuck it. Everybody have a lovely week. We will be back next week, or I'm doing an international case.
What's the international case?
I'm not telling you.
I was going to do an international case. Will I tell you what it was? Because I started it.
Go.
I was going to do the toolbox killer.
No, I wasn't doing that. That's okay.
Colin!
Everybody, bye.
I was doing next to nothing about a year ago, but Sarah Jane and Emma came a knocking on my door. Said they figured out a better way to pass the time and do a little podcast researching true crime. They wanted hoodies, cats and bees, the kind of place where men are not allowed. They wanted hoodies, cats and bees. night Sarah Jane would come around and lay a story down. And just about when everything was going as planned, Sarah Jane and Emma started making demands. You're gonna have to edit out for what we said. And I'll only record if we're sitting on a bed.
Ooh, these cats and bees.
With a lifetime supply of Jenny Glow they wanted.
Ooh, these cats and bees.
Homicide, some Army Hammer Joe. And a song to end the show.